Though our hearts were hardened to the needs of others, God has touched them with God's compassionate care, healing our wounds and giving us courage and strength in our souls. Be assured that God's love pours out over you and rejoice. Rejoice, for God's love is with you today, always. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 34 to 40. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment is the greatest in the law?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." This is the word of the Lord. Gracious God, as we come together in this time of reflection, be with us in our hearts and our minds. Be for us our rock and our redeemer. May the words spoken here be spoken in your love. May the words and messages we hear be received in your spirit. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. It's Indigenous Day of Prayer in the United Church. It's a day set aside to honor our neighbors, relatives, and kin who have been in this land long before any of our ancestors arrived. For most of us, these are relatives that we don't see often. Or maybe that's not quite right. For it is possible that some of us have connections with our Indigenous communities. After all, St. Mary's is literally across the river. But even being so close doesn't mean that we have meaningful relationships with our First Nation neighbors. The reality is that for most of our history, our focus has been on people who look, act, and think like us. These are the people that we naturally think of as our neighbors, communities that we live in, that are often white, Eurocentric, and for history, at least the not so distant history, shared our Protestant, mainly Presbyterian, Methodist, and Congregational roots, with a few Catholics thrown in there, here and there. These are the people that we are comfortable calling our neighbors, the people we take initiative to meet. However, for many of us, we have only met First Nations individuals on the news or in movies. And too often, when we meet this way, we are given narrow, negative stereotypes of who they are, which just feeds a horrible feedback loop of fear and anxiety and negativity. So that even when we want to be a good neighbor, we feel like we don't know what to do. And when the opportunity arises to greet and welcome First Nations peoples in our lives, we sometimes get stuck. like a sunny day in Calgary, sunny Sunday, where the greeters of the congregation were welcoming the people from the streets. I was running around doing last-minute things for the youth ministry program that I was running. When I was moving through the rotunda and happened to notice a First Nations person walk in. This wasn't a common occurrence in this congregation. It was also obvious that he had just been released from the hospital a few blocks up with a bandage on his head and bracelet still on his wrist. He stood in the doorway, unsure, just waiting. And I watched. I watched our greeters standing across the floor, just watching. And in my heart and head, I was saying, just go say hi. Just go say hi. Oh God, please just let them go say hi. When I got uncomfortable enough with the pause, I took a step forward and greeted the man. After I got him settled with a snack, the greeters came up to me and asked, what did you say? So I took this as a learning opportunity. Well, I said, welcome to Parkdale United Church. How can I help you today? I explained that our minister was preparing for the service, but would be available to talk afterwards, that the man was more than welcome to join us in the service, and I offered him a snack and coffee while he waited. That was it. That was it. Yeah, that was it. Unfortunately, all of the negative stereotypes, our Eurocentric judgments, and wild stories about our First Nations people have obscured the truth that, quite simply put, Indigenous people, like all people, are our neighbors. The reality of this throughout our history is that when we've had an opportunity to engage with our First Nations brothers and sisters, we haven't been good neighbors. Part of this is the thought patterns that our ancestors held. Those who believed in the doctrine of discovery, a policy coming from a decree issued by the Pope in the 15th century that authorized Christians, those Christian explorers, to claim so-called terra nullis, or vacant lands, based on the notion that they had racial and religious superiority. In the case of Canada, this meant that our Indigenous people were seen as non-people, and the land that they inhabited was seen as vacant, right for the taking. It's a doctrine that did much damage all over the world, and a doctrine that was officially repudiated in 2012 by our church. This understanding of land is antithetical to the traditional teachings across many First Nations that have long acknowledged the essential oneness, essential neighborliness, of all living and non-living things. Traditional knowledge passed down from generation to generation has opened up a rich spiritual horizon of neighbors that includes not only the clans and kins of a particular tribe or nation, but also kinship with the essential elements of life, such as air, water, land, with the plants and animals thereon. Let's just sit with that idea for a moment. Because for many Indigenous people, what we call the gifts of creation, the plants, the animals, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the land warmed by the sun of the day and lit by the moon of the night, these gifts are as much neighbors to each other as we are. This is wisdom that comes from the Indigenous people's experience of living in the land for generations. Rather than holding dominion over creation, such as the one that we often inherit from our Judeo-Christian myth and story found in Genesis 1, many Indigenous peoples celebrate stories of how creation taught them how to be human, how to live respectfully, how to honor all of the Creator's other beautiful creatures. This is a whole different mindset, a whole different orientation to what and who are kin than the first settlers held. And sadly, it's a beautiful part of the gift that Indigenous people offered to share that was rejected. The consequences of our peoples, the first peoples and the settlers who came, holding such different understandings about being neighbor, has been devastating. Devastating to generations of those whose ancestors signed treaties with the crown, expecting to share in the abundance of the land with the newcomers, not to be dispossessed of it. Devastating to the generations who increasingly found themselves outnumbered by newcomers pouring into the territories. Newcomers who had no concept of how the land was to be treated, how to live interdependently with the animals of this place and its plants, the water and the air. In other words, we, being our ancestors, had no concept of how to be a good neighbor in this place. And so treaties were broken, reserves created, residential schools built. A whole government apparatus was put together to control the people and their land. This is part of the history of Canada that very few of us were taught in school. And up until recently, some of us may have tried to deny or sweep it under the rug. But none of us can deny the finding of 215 unmarked, undocumented graves of children. Even the most fervently holdout among us has been taken aback. Our history of being a bad neighbor is something that we cannot deny any longer as a country. It is a reality that we need to continue to walk towards. And as those who have benefited from a system so long ago put in place, it is part of our hard work. We are the descendants, people who see the land most often not as a living and sacred thing, but as a patch of ground to be fenced and resources to be exploited. We are caught up in the sins of our ancestors. We have some hard work to open our eyes. The sad thing is, we cannot claim to lack knowledge of how to treat our neighbor. After all, Jesus was pretty clear when he summed up our faith in two statements: love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and being, and love your neighbor as yourself. None of us would want to be treated the way we have historically treated our First Nations, nor the way many of them are still treated today. It would be unauthentic to celebrate National Indigenous Peoples Day of Prayer without acknowledging that our relationship with them has been broken. Without acknowledging the mess, we risk internalizing the biases that we come with. We risk falling into a pattern of saying, well, it was okay. In October 2011, when the Truth and Reconciliation Commission hosted its hearings in Halifax, I was a student, and we were encouraged to attend. So donning a button they gave me, noting that I was from the United Church of Canada seeking right relationships, I joined the crowd. It was one of the first times that I felt like a minority, as the majority of people in attendance were First Nations people who had been to Shubenacadie and their supporters. The life stories and reflections that were shared were moving, touching up against my own brokenness. My heart ached for the children these grown-ups had been. My heart ached for the pain these adults still felt and would likely feel until their dying days. As I sat as a witness for my church, your church, our church, hearing the testify, I was testifying with my being that these people were finally being heard. It was hard, but it was the right thing to do. As a neighbor, as kin, as one whose ancestors inflicted pain, bearing witness was something I could do. But there was also something else that struck me that day. And I paraphrase here. For after one gentleman told his story, he paused. He addressed us white people in the crowd and said, "Your feelings of guilt do me no good. Guilt leaves us stuck. We need action to move forward." This is similar to the words given to us as the church when we made our first apology to First Nations people in 88 for denying their spirituality. When the apology was acknowledged and the church was encouraged to live into the words that were shared. Our task is still to live into right relationships, to live into being a good neighbor. In the face of the ongoing revelations of the past, that push is even more important. We need to listen to our Indigenous populations, to learn the history of ourselves as a treaty people. It's hard to believe that it was like 2 or 3 years ago that we did the blanket exercise here in the sanctuary. To support the work of right relationships. And if you felt stuck wondering what you could do in the face of finding the graves of those children, our church supports healing, supports First Nations populations relearning culture and various other things, both through the Mission and Service Fund and through the Healing Fund. And both of those funds can be directly donated towards and direct your donations. And beyond that, each of us has the opportunity to offer friendship and allyship, to reach out and say hi. But let us be okay if we're not warmly welcomed to begin with. Because when you've been a bad neighbor, it takes time. It takes time to let people know that you're different. On this Aboriginal Day of Prayer, let us recommit ourselves to being known as neighbors. Neighbors who love others the way we wish to be loved. Amen. I invite us to join in our hymn.